In his last years of Shmuel Shapira, when the Parkinson was eating him up completely, he didn't see so well at the end, and he couldn't read by himself. So his family used to sit next to him hours and hours, like one after the other, and read Gemara, Rishoni, Malacha, whatever it was. Now, even though they were sitting with books and Shmuel was listening by heart, he used to fix them. He used to fix them?
Correct
them for anytime was wrong. He didn't see. They the ones who saw, and he corrected them. At the time of his illness, his family learned in a very not in a straight way. They just realized how huge he was. 76 years he hid his brilliancy, how much he knew. His son-in-law, Rabbi Dalei Frank, he says that every time he had a question on learning, anything, any sugya, anything, he used to go to his father-in-law, Shmuel Shapira, and even though Shmuel was doing other things, he used to ask him. Whatever he asked him, he always had an answer. It looks like, he said, he's living every second, every learning of Hashem, every speech of Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel David Soloveitchik Shlita, the Rashi of Brisk, he says about meeting of Shmuel's Torah. You want to open the window? It's cold, huh? Will it rain this morning, Ezra?
Drizzle.
Keep up. That's called rain?
No, tomorrow. Thursday.
Serious rain, okay.
So it was Tafshin Gimel. Tafshin Gimel is 1943. Or 1944. Gimel or that. When the first time in my life I went into the breast of Shtilach, and I saw a young avrech, a young man.
Are you speaking now?
The Meshulam David Soloveitchik.
The Rebbe.
And I saw this guy learning, burning, learning like crazy. And when I realized this guy, I felt like he's a very special person. And I asked him, he told me his name is Rabbi Shmuel Shapira. Afterward, I realized, someone told me also he's a relative of mine. And I saw him a few times learning Torah and serving Hashem. What could I say? Today you don't see such chassidim. Shmuel was an endlessly chassid. Also his prayer, also his tefillah. Also in the Torah Tanista, in the Kabbalah, Shmuel knew very well. Rav Ashik Zeli Margalias, he was doing the Kubbal, he had all kinds of questions in Kabbalah and stuff. He needs to give it to Shmuel Shapira. Shmuel needs to answer them. Also, this is beginning. Also, used to give him a question. Shmuel used to try to, no, I don't know. And then used to answer very short questions, exactly on the spot. And it took him Nazan Tzvi a few days to look into what he answered him in order to understand what he said.
What do you mean?
He used to answer very short questions. And it took the lesson to be Kenny a few days to understand what he was talking about. His answers were very short. Here's another story of Nissen David Kiva, you know Kiva, right?
I mean,
about Shmuel, he said, the story that happened in Torah Bismedish came the book, Abamo Chitikesef, is a book that Reb Chaim Vital wrote. Very not famous book. And it was lacking the first page. And it's a very rare book, very precious book. And when they gave it to Reb Shmuel, they showed him the book. They said, we're missing the first page. He said, no problem, give me a paper there. And he said the whole first page by heart, and they wrote it. But Shmuel was very scared of wondering one thing.
Of what?
He was very scared that people will know how smart he is, how genius he is. Therefore, he hid it. But Shmuel was the biggest of the Talmidim of the Ibn Ezer, the Bissazan Metzah. I learned from his book today. And when they used to ask the questions of Shmuel, he used to say, go to the Rav, what do you need me? Why are you asking me? Go ask the Rav. Never wanted to answer. And Shmuel used to stay in Meron for Shabbos Hanukkah. So Shimon Anshi went up to his room and asked him about the mikvah that it was heated up. So Shmuel says, what? I don't understand what he's saying. Shmuel was playing games. He didn't want to answer. And then he tells his grandson, no, Nassim, answer him. I don't know what he's talking about. So Nassim says, Nassim, his grandson also was saying, I don't know, we're also playing games. They both knew. When Shmuel showed that no one's helping him, so he answered the question. So Shimon left, so Shmuel went to his grandson and said, no, what do you want from me? Why did you help me? Didn't see I'm trying to get out of this thing? Why did you help? Why did you answer him? He was upset at him. I'm trying to run away from the answering. Even on the most simple questions that Halacha didn't answer, he used to point to the wall of his house and go there, and then he knows Avidoshi, like his cousin. He knows, go to him, he knows Halacha. He always used to answer this. When already people forced him to answer, and he answered questions, deep questions and everything. So he never said, this is how it has to be. He said, I think he could explain, maybe. It seems like he should do like that. I don't know. He never answered. And then he used to say the amazing shot that he had. And that way it was tough. Shmuel used to tell that Meron was Mayan, and about it, Mayan Megiddo it's called. And on Shabbos, he went out of the Mayan and he stood. Till he completely dried and then he went. Why was he afraid? Carrying, there was no air over there. You can't carry on Shabbos. Water on you.
What was he carrying? Drops of water?
Yeah.
To
but he told his children, you could go. It's not considered carrying. He said, I still stayed a little bit litva. Interesting, eh? The Kaitel of Ma'aravi, the heart of all the limbs in the Jewish. Jewish body, the Jewish nation. Shmuel wasn't just a very holy place. This was the house of Shmuel. The second house was the Kotel. His first house was home. Say the Kotel. The Kotel had two amazing advantages in Shmuel's eyes. First of all, the Kotel was the place that the Shekhinah was dwelling. And also, it was a place where you felt the galus of the Shekhinah.
Yeah.
You felt the galus. You felt the galus of the Shekhinah. You also felt the Shekhinah. You also felt the galus of the Shekhinah.
The exile.
Yeah. His yearning to the Kotel was the internal yearning of the Shekhinah. Every night he's going to cry over there. There was no danger, no dangers in his eyes, no people, no events, no situations. He went to the Kotel. If he can, he went. Okay. Every night, a chatzot night, he used to go there. Even when there was a, sometimes the Sochnut used to bring all kinds of people there to the Kotel, the Shona and the Kotel, and then they used to sing the Israeli anthem.
What's the
And
who would bring people?
The Sochnut.
Before 48?
Yeah, before.
Even before?
Yeah.
Well, we had it before.
Before, after. Yeah. Well, before 48.
Before, we didn't have it. Oh, we did have it.
After 67.
I was in between 48 and 67, you couldn't go.
No, 19 years
ago. I was in the, so, this time period is before then, probably.
Hmm?
Talking about before now.
I don't know.
Well, before 48 was under the British.
Yeah, but people could go.
And also from 67.
After 67.
After 67, you had
those years, you couldn't go.
Couldn't
right.
go. 19 years.
This is probably before. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Israel Grossman said that one of the nights of 1938, yeah. I really wanted to go to the Kotel, but it was very dangerous before the state. 10 years before the state, was still a lot of thing between the brigades, the Jewish brigades, the Jews, whatever they called, the underground and everything. And there was a lot of balagan. I was afraid to go. And people were afraid to go there at night. So then I figured I'll go in the middle of the night. No one knows that I'm going. I'll just go. So it was close to Chatzot. I'm going there. Suddenly I hear crying and everything. I said, what? Who's crying here in the middle of the Kotel at night? I continued quietly. When I reached this, then it was very small where the Kotel was, the place. And I saw Shmuel. Cleave to the wall, crying. I was so glad Grossman stopped and listened to him. It was like it sounded very as if this connection with Hashem. If he doesn't have this connection, he'll just die. He'll drop dead. It sounded like, I need you, Hashem, now. That's how it sounded. I didn't want Shmuel to see me and get confused from his work. So I hid, and for a long, long time I saw it. I got power from this for my whole life. That's what Yisrael Grossman says. Yisrael Grossman. Even 50 years afterwards, he felt the problem with it that night. And then in the morning of Shmuel was after all night there. Shmuel was in the morning, as if he slept all night, everything good, everything okay. Tav Shin Chet. The old city was captured, conquered by the Jordanian legions. Mm-hmm. And the Rav Lakota in those days was the Yitzhak Ornstein. Says in the morning, Friday morning, they conquered the Kotel. It was after a whole night that Rav Shmuel screamed there in the Kotel. Or bombs or anything, but he's there at the Kotel, he doesn't know anything. And he was the last one at the Kotel that he said. Before it was taken away.
So, what type of video? I've been doing all sorts of things every day.